Latinx music has experienced a huge boom in the last 10 years. We've seen the rise of global superstars like Bad Bunny and J Balvin. We've seen Shakira and Jennifer Lopez take over this year's Super Bowl halftime show. And of course, we've seen the chart domination of Despacito by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee back in 2017. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. The decade has also produced countless musical discoveries across the Latin world, and the whole time our pals at NPR Music's Alt Latino have been there to guide us through it all. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we're talking about songs that defined a decade of Latinx music on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor WeTransfer. Are you perfectly happy with the way things are right now? Are there any doubts you have about the world as is? If so, perhaps they deserve your full attention. Perhaps they could even change things for the better. WeTransfer's set of tools is made for just such an endeavor. By helping you collect, sketch, present, and share the ideas that all started with doubts. Meet Paste, Paper, and Collect by WeTransfer. Go to toolstomoveideas.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Joining us today are two of our pals from the Alt Latino podcast. First up from his home studio in Silver Spring, Maryland, is Alt Latino host Felix Contreras. Welcome back, Felix.
Hey, Stephen. Thanks for having me, man. Thank you.
It is such a pleasure. Also joining us from her home in Washington, D.C. is NPR Music and Alt Latino contributor Stephanie Fernandez. Hi, Stephanie.
So good to be back, Stephen.
It is great to have you guys both here. First off, I want to wish Alt Latino a happy anniversary. Alt Latino, like Pop Culture Happy Hour, celebrates its 10th anniversary this year. For those who aren't familiar with Alt Latino, Felix, can you tell us a little bit about the show?
And congratulations to you guys, too.
Thanks, buddy.
In Spanish, we would be gemelos. We're twins. We started, like you said, 10 years ago. I had a co-host, Jasmine Garst, who's not with NPR anymore, but we started this, and she did the bulk of the shows over the last 10 years. The idea was to look at music that she and I had a very strong interest in, Latin alternative, rock and Espanol, all the stuff that's not pop music. We put an idea together, we pitched it, and here we are 10 years later.
Nice. Well, it's a wonderful show for those who have any interest at all in Latin music, which I would assume is everybody listening at this point. Really definitely check out Alt Latino. Felix and Stephanie, it's such a great show.
Thank you.
Now, before we get started playing some music, obviously, I just want to make it clear up front, we are not able to give a completely comprehensive look at 10 years worth of Latinx music in one episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour. We do want to give a general overview, though, of some songs that helped define the decade. Felix, I'm going to start with you. Give us a song that helped define the last 10 years in Latinx music.
I think I would start with a song called Latino America from the group Calle 13. And when I think back to our beginnings, I think back to the time when Calle 13 dominated the Latin music industry. They're a hip-hop duo from Puerto Rico, and in fact, they still hold the record for the most Latin Grammy wins, 26.
Wow.
So they're very popular with the fans and the critics, and their success marks the huge embrace of Latin hip-hop in the mainstream. And it wasn't the only thing happening back then. I mean, besides pop, cumbia was also riding a wave of being the one music form that was popular in just about every Latin American country in some form or another. There were also lots of electronic music mixed with folk, like from Argentina and Peru. But Calle 13, man, that's what I remember most from those earliest days.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Latino America from Calle 13. Las caras más bonitas que he conocido, soy la fotografía de un desaparecido, la sangre dentro de tus venas, soy un pedazo de tierra que vale la pena, una canasta con frijoles, soy Maradona contra Inglaterra, anotándote dos goles, soy lo que sostiene mi bandera, la espina dorsal del planeta en mi cordillera, soy lo que me enseñó mi padre. You know, listening to this song now is really a trip for me because I haven't been involved with Alt Latino for the last 10 years. I've only been involved since 2018, which is when I started working with NPR. But in 2010, when this song came out, I was in high school in Miami, and I remember they played the video for this song at an assembly we had of the whole high school. Of course, being in Miami, so many of us were Latino, and I think hearing that song at that time for me was this political awakening of sorts around Latino identity. And I think
Part of that is, of course, the chorus, you know, featuring legends like Totó la Momposina, and the chorus, which goes, tú no puedes comprar la lluvia, tú no puedes comprar el calor. You know, our communities are not for sale. You know, sometimes as I've grown older, I've taken issue with kind of the pan-Latin song. It is a form that we return to again and again, and I'll speak a little bit about that later, too. But I think what this song was saying is that ultimately what unites Latinos is colonization, and fighting that should be a shared struggle. And I think this song was one of the first times I had heard that in music, at least.
Yeah, Felix, you and I were both in high school also when this song came out. So
thank you for that, Steph.
I think it really speaks to all of us in that way. Okay, well, Felix, give us another song. I know you got another great one.
Okay, so one of the things we've been able to do over the years is to follow bands, right? Bands that I discovered, you know, 10 years ago, a handful of them, I've been able to follow them and watch their ascent, their career just rise. And one of the very first bands I interviewed was a band called La Santa Cecilia. They're from Los Angeles. And I think I interviewed them before the show even started in 2009 in Austin at an unofficial showcase at South by Southwest. They were assembled in a parking lot with a bunch of other bands from this label called Cosmica. And over the years, through hard work and constant touring, they've been able to not only get more fans, but get more respect from the industry. At some point, they switched over to a major label. And their music is an infectious cross-cultural mix of soul and son jarocho and Mexican folk and all these kind of different things with the powerful lead vocalist by the name of La Marisol. And a lot of their music is very, very socially conscious. And I brought in a song. It's a cover of the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever. But in the video and in the wording around it, they dedicated it to migrant workers who pick strawberries along the Central California coast. And it's very, very moving and puts the whole lyric in a different context.
Wonderful. Let's hear a little bit of it. This is La Santa Cecilia.
Let me take you down, 'cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields. Nothing gives me, and nothing to get hung about. Strawberry Fields Forever. No one I think is.
La Santa Cecilia has written, I think, some of the most moving protest songs of the last decade. Also on this album was their song Ice el Hielo, which was a commentary on conditions in ICE detention. And unfortunately, I think this song is also pretty relevant this year and uniquely heartbreaking because of the fires currently consuming the West Coast, where farm workers have few protections and are, in many cases, still forced to work as the fires rage on.
So this song is still particularly relevant, and I think that's the magic of the power of their songwriting, their song choice, and just everything that they are, La Santa Cecilia.
Wonderful. Let's go to our let's go to the next pick.
Okay, I'm gonna sing it for you. Despacito. We decided to spare you and the listeners from hearing that song yet again because it seemed to be everywhere. But in all honesty, you know, Despacito was a major game changer in so many ways. The popularity of the song was cross-cultural, and it propelled Spanish language music to the front of the economic pack, and it blew up YouTube with view records. I think, Stephanie, you said today it was up like, what, 1 gazillion? How many views now?
I think 6.9 billion last I checked.
Wow. A gazillion, right?
A gazillion.
And I think it still holds the record as the most YouTube views ever.
You may have heard it on Joe Biden's iPhone.
That's right. That's right.
But more importantly, it raised the profile of reggaeton from a music pioneered by marginalized Black Panamanians and Puerto Ricans to become a million-selling pop genre. And I think that's the biggest change in the last 10 years, the dominance of reggaeton and trap en español, as well as the rise of streaming.
Absolutely. It definitely marked a moment where reggaeton was the most visible genre on earth. And I think, you know, it featured a legend of the genre, Daddy Yankee, of course, who's been doing this for decades. And while it's certainly not the first reggaeton song that I remember being wildly popular, reggaeton has been having its moment in my mind since Gasolina in 2004 and before that. But Despacito was truly the moment where, you know, in the U.S. at large, you could not go anywhere without hearing reggaeton. It was the most listened to sound on earth.
Well, I know the next pick is another song that was completely inescapable and kind of a game changer in its own right.
Yep, absolutely. This is I Like It by Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin.
I like diamonds. I like stunning. I like shining. I like million-dollar deals. Where's my pen? Bitch, I'm signing. I like those Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula. I put rocks all in my watch. I like sexes from my exes when they want a second chance.
Let the record show that Felix and I both swayed back and forth like the drunk uncles at a wedding that we are. So let's talk a little bit about this song.
Look, you know, as big as Despacito was, Luis Fonsi has not matched that in his own career, and you haven't heard a pop hit from him that quite reached that same level as Despacito. But I think the difference with I Like It, a song that definitely came out of the post-Despacito boom, was that it solidified what people saw as, like, you know, what Bad Bunny calls in the song this Latino gang. And people had a face that they could keep associating with these genres in Bad Bunny, J Balvin, and of course Cardi B, who are three of the most visible Latinx icons in the world. And I think what was exciting about this song is that it didn't just come and go. It set off this trend of the Caribbean kind of getting its shine a little more in mainstream pop. You know, Cardi B had previously collaborated with Ozuna, who's also one of the biggest artists in the world. And she went on to collaborate with Dominican dembow artist El Alfa. And, you know, Bad Bunny's second album was all about bringing reggaeton back to its roots in Puerto Rico before it was sanitized and whitewashed in the mainstream pop world today. So I think reggaeton, at the level we're talking about of pop and as large as it has become, is having this moment that is becoming a little closer to honoring its roots authentically.
And the other thing about this song was that it was a nod to a song called I Like It Like That, which was a big hit from the Boogaloo era, which was a Puerto Rican and African-American thing back in the early to mid-60s. So, like, when I heard it for the first time, I thought, clever, nice, nice call on the tune to update it and bring it all together, almost full circle.
And, you know, while we're talking about these big changes in the Latin music industry, there are also some big changes that were personal to me in music. I'm Cuban American, and 2015 saw a huge shift in Cuban American relations after many, many, many decades of stasis left over from the Cold War era. And so Cuban music from Cuba, from the island, made a return in a big way on a global stage. This is La Gozadera by Gente de Zona.
Miami me lo confirmó.
You know, Stephen, since 2016, I've made two trips to Cuba, and you'd be surprised how often I heard reggaeton coming from the radios and taxis and people just hanging out. It's super, super popular on the island.
Yep. Cuba has its own subgenre of reggaeton called cubaton, which is kind of a uniquely Cuban take on reggaeton. And while Cuba has never had a shortage of brilliant musicians, I know, Felix, you'd agree, this song catapulted Cuban artists, two Afro-Cubanos, from the island to an incredibly visible and popular position. It came out just a couple months after Barack Obama and Raul Castro announced that Cuban-American relations would begin a normalization, was the word I heard a lot, and or a thaw between the two countries. And for the Latin industry, this was just the moment to jump in and capitalize on this. So, you know, with the support of Mark Anthony's business, you know, he's also on the song, it was all over Latin radio in the U.S., and, you know, that song really inspired a lot of hope and positive feeling for, you know, sustaining this momentum for change that has unfortunately not been sustained as, you know, the relationship between the two countries has gone cold again. And I think this is a song that shares themes with a lot of the songs we've talked about being this, like, pan-Latino anthem. It's about all the countries in Latin America raising their flags and dancing and celebrating together. And that's a song that we've heard so many times. J Balvin's Mi Gente had the same presence. To a different degree, Latinoamerica by Calle 13 revolves around that as well. And I think now so many times I've just come to see it as, you know, a marketing tactic to appeal to the widest possible demographic of people. And I love a song that celebrates the diversity of the Latinx community, but I find that, you know, at the end of the decade, so many musicians are gaining visibility that are questioning what unites us, that are, you know, beginning to push further on that question. And I hope, you know, huge pop songs one day begin to embrace that as well.
Well, we've got one song left to go to, and I have to say I'm really excited. It's from one of my favorite albums of this year. Tell us about this last song.
This song is one of those rare songs where Stephanie and I and the Alt Latino contributors Maris Arbona Ruiz and Catalina Maria Johnson, we all agree that this album is going to be our album of the year. This is an album called Miss Colombia by Lido Pimienta. This track is called Nada. Not wanting to make light of course, all the tragedies that are happening in the world because of the pandemic. But one of the things that did happen before everything got locked down is that we were days away from traveling to Austin to attend this year's South by Southwest. And I had Lido Pimienta on our Alt Latino showcase as the headliner. She was going to hit at midnight with this record. It was just going to blow up. But of course, that wasn't able to happen. But still, the album is just a phenomenal piece of work.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the title and like the main reference point of how this album came to be comes from a moment very of the last decade, which is when, you know, Steve Harvey mistakenly announced Miss Colombia as the winner of the Miss Universe pageant in 2015. And when the mistake was corrected, you know, Colombians had this popular revolt against Miss Philippines and against Steve Harvey. And for Lido, it highlighted a lot of the ugliness behind, you know, discussions of Colombian national identity. This song in particular, which features Lisa Met from Bomba Estéreo, is about motherhood and the intergenerational pain that Black and Indigenous women carry in particular. I think this album is also particularly relevant to a ton of discussions around Latinx heritage and Latinx identity. So much of it is nationalistic. And across Latin America, Black and Indigenous members of our community are excluded all the time from national identity, from the stories we choose to tell. As we move into the next decade, I hope more of our narratives can be mobilized in service of uplifting those who are most marginalized within our communities. And while celebrating what unites us, also questioning how we can do better.
I think that this song is a great song to end this little segment with, but also to look back on the last 10 years, because all of these themes, identity, the musical discovery, issues of gender, all of that, that's all been part of the music of the last 10 years in one form or another. So this is a perfect song to bring it all together with.
That's perfect. Well, we want to know what Latinx songs and artists you loved in the last decade. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. If you want even more song recommendations, and there are a lot of them from Felix and Stephanie, make sure to subscribe to the Alt Latino podcast from NPR. Thanks to you both for being here.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks so much for having us on, man. And happy birthday to you guys, too. Seriously, thank you.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all right back here next time.
With the unemployment rate at record highs right now, millions of Americans are without health insurance.
This week on Throughline, how our healthcare became tied to our jobs.
And how a temporary solution turned into an everlasting problem.
Listen now to Throughline from NPR, where we go back in time
to understand the present.